So welcome to Community Bible Church this morning. Good to see you all out. And I noticed that Laura is back. Yay! So Laura was at Camp Berea, right? Working in the kitchen for the summer. So if you haven't had a chance, go see Laura and check it out. But I'm going to be the first in line. So you have to people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Let's pray before Brian comes up for the his message. Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning. I pray that you would be with Brian, give him the words to say, things that you would have each one of us to hear. Open our hearts this morning that we may receive something special, something for each one of us that we can learn about you and apply to our lives. Thank you that we have the privilege to be here today. In your name, amen.
Keep your finger right there in the Bible at Psalm 78. I'm going to expound all 72 verses today. It's only 72. Come on, we got lots of time. I told Brandy this morning, I said, Brand, I've really only got about 15 minutes that I'm going to speak for. And she said, really? You're going to break Mr. Kapiloff's record. Remember that time he said, that's it, I'm all done, and walked off. She said, awesome. I said, there's a catch. Everybody else is going to have a part to play. All of you are going to have a part to play today. So I want to ask you a question. This is a serious question. I don't mean it to be flippant. Why are you here? Why are you here today? Why do you come to Community Bible Church? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Wendy spoke about that a little bit here. She said, you know, she stole my sermon, I think. Why do you come? What keeps you coming back week after week after week? Is it a habit? Is it a social outlet for you? Does it appease your conscience to come every week? Why do you come? You can throw up that slide for me. That's quite a motley crew. My family, the Gill family, goes to the Jersey Shore every year. If you've been around, you know. We tell the stories. They're all, man, it's the whole crew. This is my dad's side of the family, and we're Gills. And this is what we do. When I say the whole family goes, I mean the whole family. When all of us are there, we are 40 strong. See, my grampy and my granny decided in 1941 they were going to go for a week at the shore. And so took off. First full week in August went. And the next year went back and back and back. And other than a couple of years a little bit later in World War II, have gone back every year since. And they decided this was our family week. And they paid for everything, obviously, and away they went. And as their family grew, they added spouses, and they added children, and they kept going back. And their children added spouses and children, and we kept going back. And Granny and Grampy paid for everything. So there's a little caveat there, because this is the no-excuse vacation. We go. And pretty soon, Granny and Grampy were paying for four houses and all of our food. And Grampy would walk every day down to the Colonial Bakery and get all however many, I think there was probably 24 of us at that point, crumb buns for breakfast every morning. It's like eating a cookie every morning for breakfast. It's wonderful. But then my dad died, and it was his family gathering. So what did we do? We kept going. A year later, Grampy died. What did we do? Well, we kept going. Granny said, we're not losing this. I'm paying for everything. And Granny, we kept going. And over the years, we've grown and grown and grown. And eventually, many of you know, I've met Granny Gill. Eventually, Granny Gill passed away. And so what do we do? Well, Granny Gill put money in a trust and we keep going. That's just, it was so important to her, to Grampy, that that's what we did. Well, the money runs out in about 2 more years. We've been going for a few years now after Granny has passed. So this summer, we actually had to begin the discussion as a family, as we look ahead a couple years down the road. We had to ask the question, why do we come here? Is it because it's free? Yeah, that's true in part. Is it because it's restful? Certainly not. Not with this bunch. Peaceful? No way. You got to be kidding me. I came home hoarse and exhausted because our family mantra is, if you can't be heard, just talk louder. So that's how we roll in the Gill family. Why do we go? Thought about this a lot as the prospect of potentially losing the beach week presented itself. And we talked about it as cousins quite a bit. Why do we go? Why do we want to keep going? Here's what I came up with as I've just processed and thought and talked and conversations a lot this that week about it. We go because this family, the Gill family, shaped me. Shaped me. I am a Gill. And I'm a part of that. And that is a big part of me. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to forget that. I want to build on it. I want it to grow. My identity as a Gill. And what's more, now I have kids of my own. And my kids go to the shore. And they identify with this crazy family that starts every day after breakfast with an hour of singing hymns and spiritual songs and sharing our faith testimonies from the previous year so we can pray for each other into the coming year. That's how we roll. We're nuts. My kids are a part of the deep, impactful spiritual conversations that take place while we're riding waves all day long. No joke. And my kids find their place and they are lumped in with the transgressors who have no conscience when it comes to a green swimming flag or a red swimming flag. It doesn't matter to us. They find their identity as Ocean Beach Shore's rule breakers. Now, the lifeguards let us get away with it because they know us, so it's no big deal. Most of all, from their time at my shore, at the shore, I want my children to know what it means to be a Gill, the way I learned what it means to be a Gill. Faith, family, and fun. That's the Gill way. So, we spent a lot of time as cousins processing this, talking about this. You can see it's been on my heart and mind. So I want to extend this question. CBC, why do we come? I guarantee you every moment at the shore is not fun. Every moment here maybe is not fun. It's difficult. There are difficult interactions and relationships at times, like there are here. And yet, you keep coming. We can dump the slide. You don't want to look at my family anymore. We're pretty ugly. Why are you here? I believe Psalm 78 lays out an answer for us. And that answer is in many ways similar to my Jersey Shore experiences. I believe Asaph, the writer of this psalm, Psalm 78, wants us to gather together, to share our spiritual identity and our spiritual formation stories, so that our identity is found here, together, and then identity continues to grow and be shaped by our time together. And it not only impacts us, but it impacts the next generation of Christians, both converts coming in, as well as our collective spiritual children, those who come by way of our identity with Christ and our witness to Him. I believe this is why we come. Let's pray as we begin this morning. Father God, I pray that You would continue to shape the spiritual identity of Community Bible Church and those who attend. Impact us with the message of Your work in each other's lives. Use us to shape each other as well as the world around us. Teach us through our time this morning together. In Your name we pray. Amen. So some of us reading these opening verses of Psalm 78, especially verses 4 through 8, and maybe you immediately said, "Oh, not for me," because we're talking about teaching our kids, right? Talking about teaching our kids. Well, let's recognize first that some of you are children. We've got a couple here with us. Some of you had children living with you, but no longer. You're not really shaping them. They're out on their own. Some of you won't have children. Some of you don't have them yet. Some of you act like children. Dave's not here. There he is. Wayne's here at least. And a small percentage of you still have children living under your roof. Notice in the text this morning, it never talks about parenting, never says the words "my children," never says "your children." Well, how is it phrased? Let's go to the text. "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers," those who've gone before, "have told us. We will not conceal them from their children." Who are their children? Well, it's not, this is talking about my kids, Brandy, Laney, and Nate. It's not talking about, who is it talking about? It's our fathers and their children. Who's that? That's Israel in this text. Who's that? That's us today. Who's it talking to? It's talking to us. It wasn't concealed from our fathers. They passed it down to us. And we talk about it and experience it, our identity with our father's children, their children, our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's us. Our spiritual brothers and sisters. Our spiritual children also who are with us and or our spiritual children who have not yet been born. Now, this may refer specifically to our children and those children not yet born. It definitely applies to them. But there's a spiritual sense here of Israel speaking to each other and to those who are part of their identity. "We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established," verse 5, "a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children." Again, it's not a specific to parenting. It's specific to all of us, to you and to me. Asaph's not just talking to parents. He's talking to Israel and us. And what is he saying that we ought to do? Verse 4. "We ought to tell of the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done." Why? Why does he tell us to do this? Well, he's going to spend the next verses 9 through 72, which we're not actually even going to touch on this morning, but I encourage you to read them. He's going to go on to tell them of the wondrous acts of God on their behalf. Why? To remind them of who they are, their identity in Christ. They are Israel. They are God's people. They belong to Him. They were bought with a price. They were redeemed out of Egypt and redeemed to God. Just like we ought to tell the stories of God's grace to us, to remind us that we are God's people. We are redeemed unto God. We are bought with a price. Tell of the praises of the Lord, His strength and the wondrous works that He has done. Why? So that our identity in Christ can be sealed, remembered, celebrated, and shared. This identity that we have in Christ. Have you ever had to teach? Now, some of you are teachers by nature, right? Bryce is a teacher by nature. Suthian's a teacher. I teach phys ed. That doesn't really classify. I play for a living. But some of you teach. Some of you have taught Sunday school. Some of you have actually maybe had to preach or teach something specific in your workplace to someone else. What do we say about teaching? The best way to learn something is to
do it.
Thank you. Is to teach it. Why? Because, well, if I have to teach a Sunday school class and I don't really know the content of Scripture, I better get to know it before I can expound anything to anyone else. If I have to preach, I better know what I'm talking about. Who gains more, you or me? Typically, I think I always do if I have to preach. I learn more, I'm challenged more, and gain more a lot of times than I feel the people listening. I've researched and studied and prayed and read and all that time. You want to learn? Teach. You want to solidify your identity in God? Then have this disease of uninhibited gospel proclamation. Proclaim the good news of what Christ has done for you. Share it with others so that you will remember it, so that you will be sealed in it, so it will describe and identify you as God's, as Christ's. It's not just for those who hear. You gain as much or more than those listening, as your identity is sealed in Christ. There's no better way to learn than to speak and teach yourself. We remember and celebrate our identity in Christ through our sharing. So who is called to speak? Is it pastors, teachers, preachers? Nope. The text states all Israel should be a part. And our application for us is that it should be you and me. Who does the proclamation go out to? Is it just to our children in our own homes? Nope. It's to all. It's to our Father's children, to each other. These proclamations of our identity. It's to those, this spiritual family, to further grow our shared identity with each other in Christ. It's to those joining our spiritual family. We've had many people join our spiritual family, and some go out to other places and still come back because they feel an identity here as part of our spiritual family. It's to those joining our spiritual family that they may identify with Christ first and with His church as well. And it's also, as the Scripture tells us in verse 6, to the generations to come. Both physical generations, clearly, but to the spiritual generations to come, that they may carry on the great family identification with Christ. So what's the end result? What do we hope to produce by this uninhibited gospel proclamation, this sharing that we do of God's grace and God's work in our lives that creates and shapes our identity? What do we hope to produce in others? We've said it's for us, but it's also for others. What do we want to produce in this? Verse 7 speaks directly to this. And I'll go a little bit out of order with verse 7, but it's right here in the text. So what do I want? Let me go back a quick second. What do I want for my children? So I'm going to approach this differently. So God, what does God want in us through this sharing? What do I want in my children through our time together, through this shared identity, through this identification as a Gil, faith, family, fun? Well, I want for my children, I want them to know what it means to be a Gil. So I need to share with them faith, family, fun. This is how we do things. This is what we believe. There are many parents nowadays who say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not going to really force it on my kids. I'm going to let them just experience whatever they want, and then hopefully they'll come to it themselves. No. If you know, as Bryce talked about last week, that the earth is round and not flat, well, I know it's round, but I'm going to let my kids experience a flat earth and let them come to the decision themselves. What? No. If the earth is round, it's round, and you tell your kids it's round. If God is good and God is real and God is your identity, then tell your kids. Tell each other. Tell our spiritual unborn, those around you at work. God is real. God is good. This is my identity. Don't leave that to chance. Teach it. Tell it. Share it. I want my kids to know what it means to be a Gil. Do we want others to know what it means to be identified with God, with Christ? We should. I want my children to set their hope on this identity. What does that mean? I want them to want it for themselves. I want them to trust in this identity as a Gil, that faith, family, fun, that's what we want for them. Trust it. Pursue after it. Faith first. That family is important because family drives us to faith. And fun is just plain fun. That's what I want for my kids. We want those around us through our uninhibited sharing of our gospel stories. We want those around us to put their hope and their trust in Christ. We want them to see it, to experience it, and to pursue it for themselves. And what else do I want for my kids? I want them to obey me. Right, Lanes? Oh, I want obedience. We talked about this in our family Sunday school. Why do I want obedience? Because I love my children. I love them dearly. And I want the best for them. What is the best for them? Well, the best is God's way. And I want them to go God's way. And I want them to experience as much as we can the understanding, experiencing the riches of God's grace and God's goodness. And that comes through obedience, just like it does for us. I want obedience because that's what's best for her. And it's going to lead to the best life for my kids. Well, what does verse 7 tell us that the end result of this uninhibited gospel proclamation is? That they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Out of order, not forget the works of God, that they would know what it means to follow God, who He is, what He has done. Do not forget the works of God. Get to know them. Know God. Know what He's done. Know what He's done in our lives. Share those stories. That they should put their confidence and hope in God. That we would know God so well that we say, that's what I want. I want my life to be identified with God. I want to put my hope and my confidence. This is what I want to pursue. God at all costs. That they would keep His commandments, that we would obey, that we would obey God. Why? Because He knows what's best for us and wants to bring us into what is best for us. Wow. It's laid out for us right there in 7. Uninhibited gospel proclamation. Asaph says, now this psalm is written at a time of celebration. The ark is returning to Israel. It's a great time of celebration. And he's saying, share with each other. Share with your father's children. That this identity, this legacy we have in God would go on. And it's no different for us. This, folks, is why we come. Because you, I would venture to say, most of you, have decided to find your identity in Jesus Christ. I hope that's why you come. You found your identity in Christ. And a big piece of that is then identifying with God's people, those who also have found their identity in Christ. That we would grow together. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's wonderful. And yet we want to grow together in our identity as followers of Christ. This is why we join together. And a big piece of this time together, which I think we often neglect, I think we're guilty of it here at Community Bible Church. We do this in small groups really well. So I encourage you to share and go and plug in and be involved in small groups. But I don't want to neglect this time publicly for us together to share the stories of God's grace to us that have shaped our identity in Him. What I'd like us to do, and I'm like Chris, I'm done. Now is your time. We're going to approach the table, and this is the communion table. It's God's body and His blood, His body broken for us, His blood shed for us. And the point of this table is that we say, when we take the body and the blood, is to say, I identify with you and your sacrifice for me. That's why we do this. Folks, this is why we come. What I'd like to do right now is open up a time for us to share some of our stories. How God reached us. We may have heard it 100 times. You know what? Remind ourselves of our identity in Christ. Share it again. You may want to share, this is what God is shaping and teaching me right now. This is how He's changing me, how He's molding my identity in Him. Share it right now. If you are a believer, if you found your identity in Christ here, you should have a story. There's no reason that any single one of us shouldn't have this story of God's grace in our lives. I dare say, if you can't share a story of God's grace and why He's brought you here, then we should not be identifying with God's body and blood at the table. If you don't have that story, then have the courage not to share in this, because they're one and the same. I'm not trying to guilt you into sharing this morning. That's a comfort issue. But you should have that story of God's grace. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, of a story of God's grace, then please see me after. Because I want to explain to you that Jesus Christ died for our sins to bring us out of the mess we were in and bring us into relationship with Him. As we share, this is a time for you to say, this is what God has done for me. Not a time for you to say, and this is what you all should do in light of what God's done for me. Not a time to preach. We don't need you statements. We need, this is what God's done for me and is doing in me now. Share them that we might grow together in identity in Christ. Feel free to spend anywhere from 5 seconds to about 3 minutes or so we can have as many people share as we can. And after an appropriate length of awkward silence, I'll come back up and we'll share in the communion, our identity with Christ right here. I'm going to sit. If I need to cut people off for time, I'll encourage you to wrap things up a little bit as we go. But please, let's share some of the stories of God's grace to us. I won't show that clip. We're going to go right to our time together. please feel free just to stand or sit and hope in him for what he's done for me. So reading a story this week of grace, what we think grace is, and putting it back into perspective as we approach the table. Sometimes I think, well, I wasn't saved from all kinds of other really fantastic things to come to know Christ. There's a story of a man driving a Porsche, coming over a hill, 163 miles an hour. There's the police officer. After he takes about a mile to slow down, pulls over, waits for him. Police officer shows up, says, do you know how fast you're going? No, sir, about 163. That sounds about right. Well, see what you got under that engine. Get out and look. Want to go for a cup of coffee? Great, and I go for a cup of coffee. So, is that grace? We tend to think that's grace, right? Just not getting what we deserve and maybe getting something a little more. But the story we need to change, because I often think of my life that way. I wasn't really doing much bad to begin with, but I found Christ and, you know, he let me off the hook and gave me something I didn't deserve. It's a whole lot different for us folks. It's the car going 163 miles an hour, coming over the hill, tapping the brakes, losing control, crashing into the cop, destroying his car, destroying yours, nearly killing the cop. The cop gets out of the car and writes you a ticket because you deserve it. And then he pays for the ticket himself. And then he takes you out for the cup of coffee and pays for that too. We're still not there, but we're getting closer. We have a God who we've offended from our sin. And God sent his Son to not just say, your sin doesn't count. It's not a big deal. No, our sin still requires a punishment. And our God sent his Son to pay for that sin on the cross. It was paid for. And then he says, no, it's not enough that I paid for your sin. Now I want a relationship with you. Be mine. Identify with me and live life for me. If that is your aim, that's your hope, that's your confidence, as verse 7 told us this morning, then let's share in God's body and God's blood. Let's pray as we share the body and blood together. Father God, we identify with you in your death and resurrection, saying in our hearts and minds and our lives that I am guilty, that I deserve punishment. And you didn't just wave that punishment away, but you took it on yourself so that I wouldn't have to. And so that I could be brought into relationship with you. Not just a relationship now, but you made me an heir of eternal life, of your great glory in the future. Father, teach me to identify with you in your body and blood, and teach me to identify with you daily, each day, with uninhibited gospel proclamations that further my identity, my hope, my confidence, and my trust in you. Teach each of us that this morning. We thank you for your body and your blood broken and spilled for us that we may be your children. Amen. Christ's body broken for you and for me. We identify with him in his death as we die to ourselves. Sure. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son to fulfill the shedding of blood from a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. A sacrifice we could never make. you made for us. Thank you for your blood spilled on our behalf. Christ's blood shed for you and for me. The 40-some-odd gills on the pier. It's a great picture. It started with Granny and Grampy together. Just the two of them. Just the two of them. And their desire not just to go to the beach for vacation, but to build a spiritual legacy going forward. A spiritual legacy can come out of you. It starts with you. Maybe in four generations there's 40. Maybe in four generations there's still one. Maybe there's as many as the sand on the seashore. But the call is there for us to build that legacy. Maybe we see that picture, we'll think we can get all of us, CBC, out on a pier. Let's take that family picture and say, I belong to them. Why? Because we're united in faith in Jesus Christ. We're a family, and let's have a lot of fun together. If you didn't get a chance to share your story today, share it. Share it in a small group. Share it with someone else. Grab someone today. Encourage them with your story of faith. Let's tell them. Let's tell them often. Let's tell them repeatedly. But let's find our identity together in Christ. Let's pray as we are dismissed. Father God, we pray that we would be known as yours, as a people committed to each other because we're committed to you. Continue the work you began in us of changing us and making us more nearly in the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.